Good morning to everyone. It's good to see Chris back. It's good to see Jordan here. It's just good to see everyone here. Not to be cliche or anything. Last evening, our accountability group got together, and it was the ladies' turn to go for their sharing time. So the guys got to take care of the children. Now, have you ever heard the term free-range hens or free-range chickens? You can kind of imagine our scenario last evening as all of the kids were out playing while the ladies were showering, or while they were sharing. Oh, goodness. Edit, please. Hopefully the podcast audio hasn't started yet. Okay. So anyway, all to say, happy Mother's Day. We thank you, mothers, for what you do, because typically you do keep things a little bit more in order than free-range chickens, like some of the dads do. And I appreciate my wife and how she's a mother to her children, and I know that there's lots of mothers here. So thank you for that. And I know that there's also people that have had hard times with their mother, or maybe hard time really appreciating their mother, or maybe have lost their mother prematurely. So just thinking of you as well in that. Anyway, we are here. You know, we've been going through this very slowly, this character growth series, and I kind of bounce around a little bit. It's been a couple messages since we've been here, and I'm kind of thinking of just wrapping this series up today. Maybe, you know, maybe not. We'll see how it goes, but I'm kind of leaning towards winding things down a little bit on this character growth series. So before we dive into it, let's just open with a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this morning. God, just thank you that you've brought everyone in this building this Sunday for such a time as this in your kingdom. God, that you didn't plant somebody 2,000 years ago, or you didn't plan to bring them sometime in the future, but they're here now. They're here for this time in the world that we're here, where there's things that are always changing, and our environment is always shifting, and it can be a struggle to know how do we fully live, how do we grow in our character. But I just believe that you've put us here because you've entrusted us with something for this time in the history of our world, that you've entrusted us to be able to represent you, to carry the gospel, to speak boldly for the truth. And I just pray that we would all believe in that and carry that with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys know that I like doing review, because honestly, I needed to do some review. I was like, I don't even really remember some of the things that I talked about in some of those first sessions. So we're just going to do some review, and I want to just kind of go through it, work through it a little bit slowly, just try to kind of bring these ideas and these concepts together, and just help us understand. Sometimes when we have this struggle of what feels like, why am I not growing? What's going on with my character? What's going on? What's at the heart of that? What's at the root of some of those things? And so we're just going to kind of dive in here a little bit and look. So way back, we kind of split it up, realizing that you kind of have stuff that's going on the left side of your brain, that the things that you can actually physically process, and then on the right side, you kind of have that fast track that happens faster than you can think. faster than you can, that you can actually process stuff. So, you know, on that slow track, you got time. You can think of your belief system. You can think of doctrines. You can think of, you know, your willpower. You want to plow through something, and you can think through strategies. But then oftentimes, on the other side, there's stuff that's going on around us, you know, just like you're not thinking about it, but somebody, you know, walks in the room and you recognize their face and you see that there's that recognition, like you see their face light up. Those are things that you're not processing on your slow track, but it's happening faster, that you just have that moment of recognition, and then your brain kind of catches up and your face lights up because you recognize that person. And the same thing with joy and emotional development, identity, all of those things happen on that fast track side of your brain. So there's a quote that we were kind of working through a little bit. It's like, many Western Christians believe character is formed by thinking correctly, believing truth, and making wise choices in the light of truth. But that's only just part of it. It's not fully, like, you don't grow in your character by just thinking correctly. A lot of times you grow in your character when those things that happen, that somebody passes away suddenly, you have a birth of a child, circumstances that all of a sudden you feel like your character is growing. And these have to work together. You can't have one without the other. But oftentimes we neglect seeing how the fast track works in developing our character, and we just focus on, well, I just gotta know my belief system better. I just gotta know my doctrine. I just gotta muster up the willpower, create strategies, and we leave out that fast track, and we don't see a lot of actual growth in our character because we're not bringing those two together. So what are obstacles? And this is kind of what we've been focusing on in this series, is the obstacles to this. What the obstacles that basically cause this roadblock to happen. And we've looked at low joy. We've looked at shallow relational attachments. And then we're going to be, let's see here. Okay. Actually, I was getting a little ahead of myself here. We're going to go into the review of when we looked at shallow joy. We basically looked at kind of the main idea of if you're feeling shallow joy, the question we ask, are you connected to the vine? Are you abiding in the vine? Because Jesus, the scripture says, abide in Jesus and your joy will be full. And so we looked at some of those passages. We looked, it said, the vine dresser, which is God, takes away any branch that does not bear fruit. For every branch that bears fruit, the vine dresser prunes so that the branch bears more fruit. The branch cannot bear its own fruit unless it abides in the vine. If the branch does not abide in the vine, the branch withers and is thrown into the fire. Abide in the vine's word, and the branch shall ask anything, and it will be done. This way the vine dresser will be glorified, and the branch will bear much fruit and prove to be a disciple of the vine. As a vine dresser has loved the vine, so the vine loves the branch. Branch, that's you, abide in the love of the vine. Keep the vine's commandments, and the branch, which is you, will abide in the vine's love. The vine's joy may be in the branch so that the branch's joy may be full. So we're like looking at all of these steps, like this is what produces this fruit of joy, that your joy may be full. And then you go later on, I'm not going to turn to the passage, but later on there's the commandment, you know, it's basically saying, you know what, branches, love other branches. So we kind of looked at this as working the math problem backwards. It's like, okay, so is your joy full? How do you know what's going on? If you have the fullness of joy, then you know that you are loving other branches. And if you have the ability to love other branches, you know you're keeping the commandments. And if you're keeping the commandments, then that gives you a clue that you must be bearing much fruit. And if you're bearing fruit, you know that you're being pruned, because you can't bear much fruit if you're not being pruned. So if you're being pruned, you know that there's somebody pruning you, which gives you the connection to the vine dresser, which is God. And the only way the vine dresser can work with you is by abiding, being connected in the vine. So we also looked at community versus attachment. We kind of realized that our church does really good at establishing this idea of community, and you have to have it. But sometimes we neglect the attachment side of it that we get in. And I don't know if you remember, we talked about, like, in these type of environments where we're building community, it's not like we're up here working on this and say, hey, time out, I need to call something out in you because I see this particular, you know, sin in your life. Or maybe we're working in the kitchen and you're like, time out, I really need to encourage you. I really need to pray for you. There's just, they can happen there, but they don't often. That community, what we do when we build community, is kind of more of a foundation so that we can build those relational attachments. And relational attachments, you know, maybe more of a better place that those environments can happen is, you know, in smaller group settings, like an accountability group, or maybe you just invite somebody over for supper, or maybe you're just intentional about asking somebody after church. You know, a way that you're connecting with that love attachments that lead to those opportunities to call out sin if that's necessary, to call out somebody and encourage them if that's necessary. All of those things that we have together. And sometimes we get so caught up in building community that we actually forget to build the loving attachments, and we need both. So here we go into the fourth message in here. We're going to be talking about identity, and we're going to talk about the roadblock as being an unstable identity. And what does identity actually look like for us as followers of Jesus? So common identity questions that we, you know, run across, you know, whether they be right or wrong questions, often we're like, who am I? Like, that's what we think about when we think of, well, what's my identity? Who am I? And so under that, often kind of like, so what's my personality? You know, you kind of struggle with, like, knowing, am I introvert, am I extrovert, or how do I interact with people, you know, large group setting, you know, small settings, you know, one-on-one. What are my interests? Who am I? Then another thing that we can ask ourselves is, what do I do? That's very common. One of the first things that you ask, particularly among us men, when we get together, what is it you do? What work do you do? What skill do I have? What skill do you have? And there's often that wrestling and that question, is it providing worth? Is it providing value? Is what I do, like, you can wrestle when you're feeling like your identity, you're struggling with that. There's often that, is what I do providing any type of worth? Another question is, where am I going? You can ask, do you feel stuck? Do you feel like you can't, you're in kind of a survival mode? You're not able to look ahead and you look at your life and say, if it looks in the same now as it in 20 years as it does now, as far as, like, maybe your vocation or just what you feel like God is calling you to, all of those things, does that thought make you feel happy, or does it kind of make you feel a little panicked, like, Lord have mercy, I hope I'm not preaching in 20 years from now, or, you know, whatever it may be? How's your identity attached to that? So we look at some of the things that kind of again, are common ways that we think of identity being unstable. So we think of, oh, I don't have a lot of self-worth. I just don't see myself as being worthy. Very insecure. I'm a very insecure person. Low confidence. And I know those can kind of be the same, but I think there is a distinction there. Like, I can be confident in my presentation to you, feeling like I've got it. I'm not nervous about being up here preaching, but there could be a level of insecurity in me wondering, how are you going to receive it? And is there something that I missed? Am I maybe leading you a little bit astray? Or maybe it's like, I can be confident that I'm a skillful painter, that I can deliver on my work and my job, and Bryant's not going to fire me anytime soon, because I feel confident that I do well. But and then maybe there's a little bit of an insecurity that maybe you're working for a really picky customer, and you just don't think that maybe your work is it gonna actually match their standards. So a little bit of difference there. False humility. Maybe you don't have any goals. And I think we often shy away from this idea of no goals, you know, because we think of goals as something that you always have to write down, and like, you know, New Year's resolution, and you write down all these goals. But no, you go throughout your whole life having goals. Just even simple, like, you may never realize it, but everybody has a goal of getting out of bed in the morning, right? Like, at some point, you just got to roll out. You got to get out of that bed. If you wouldn't have that goal, you would just stay in bed. You would be depressed. You would have nothing. So when you feel like you just don't have any goals, anywhere to go, we often kind of associate that with an unstable identity. And just unable to plan ahead. If your identity is unstable, you can't see the future. You can't see that. So one thing here I'd say is that this list is good, and these often kind of like are indicators of this whole idea of unstable identity, but I still don't think it gets us to the root cause. And I think actually some of these things on this list can actually be a distraction. When we're there focusing on like, who am I, or what value do I have? Do I have this certain skill? Does that affect my identity? You know, I'm very insecure. Like, I think when we start asking those questions, I think we start losing some of the main point. I feel like we start really missing some things. And so what is at the root cause of really causing an unstable identity? And this probably comes a little bit more just from, like, I think the root cause is probably the same for everyone. I know it's something for me. It is unrepented sin. So if I am living in any type of unrepented sin, that is just going to kill any ability for me to feel like I can plan for the future, that I have vision, that I feel like I have self-worth, that I have security in who God has made me. It's at the core there. If we can't get past and realize that we have areas of sin and we know about it and we're unrepentant, we keep living in that, that is just one of the root causes of this unstable identity. And those can be anything that can be pride, it can be lust, it can be, you know, even false humility that you're living in and you're not repenting of this. And you just feel like you can't, you just feel like you're in a bad dream where you're running, but you're not going anywhere. Your feet are spinning out from underneath you. And so we're going to take a look a little bit at this and just take a few glimpses into what really is the truth. And just thinking about, like, what all was John the Baptist saying when he's crying out, repent, repent. You know, yes, we repent of our sins, but what does all that entail? And you can kind of package it up and say, repent because I see that you don't have any self-worth. Repent because I can see you're not very secure. Repent because I can see you don't have any confidence. False humility. Goodness, the Pharisees. You're not going anywhere. You don't have any goals. Repent, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So foundation of identity is truth. This is how we come to battle with this whole issue of identity, is we present truth and we believe in truth, and we are not going to believe in these lies that are on the surface that we focus on so much, is who am I and what do I do? What skills do I have? All of these things that can cause your identity to go a little bit crazy. So the first foundation that we want to think, because I think this is really important, because we can also say that, well, my identity is in Christ. Well, that's a good thing to say, but what does that mean? If you say my identity is in Christ, what are you saying? And so I think some of these truths are going to help us see who is Christ and what is our identity in him. So I am created in his likeness. This is one of the first foundations of truth. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And you know, oftentimes maybe we just think about being made in the physical image of God. But this is more than just saying we were created. We were created in the image of God, in how he processes things, how he feels, what he feels, what he is able to create and make. We are representatives of that image bearing. And we got to remember that when we start losing sight, when we start losing sight that we are created in his likeness, that's just going to wreak havoc on this identity thing that we are facing. So we believe that we are created in his likeness. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. If we believe that we cannot obtain that holiness and righteousness that God is, and we are reflecting of that, but we just think we're just a flat out no good sinner, which we are, but by the grace of God, he's redeemed us, he's saved us, and he's given us a path towards reflecting his likeness, and we've got to believe that. Otherwise, our identity, this roadblock to growing in character, is just going to be there, and we're not going to be able to grow. The second point of one of the foundations of identity is truth, and the truth is, I am made new. And this is just so simplistic, like, but it is so true, because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Brendan, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Kenny, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Sarah Kay, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And I am sick and tired of the lies that we're feeding ourselves, just saying, I'm just reverting to my old ways, just reverting to my old habits. I just can't quite get past this. I can't quite grow. Just believe it. Believe it. If you are in Christ, He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen. Galatians 20, chapter 2. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Just this verse, you could spend an hour just meditating on this. Take it sometime for your devotional in the morning. Just take this verse, meditate on it. Meditate it, review it again and again. Let's just read this together. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we truly grappled this, if understood this, this whole idea, the whole message of the whole thing of this shallow identity, we wouldn't even need it if we really grasp this verse. The third foundation is that I am more than just mine. And this is so important, I feel, in our culture that's very individualistic. You know, we just kind of have a mentality that we kind of run on our own. You know, we all run our own households. We all run our own businesses, or we all kind of decide who we want to work for, what we want to do, all of this. We've grown very individualistic in our mentality. But we have to remember that I am more than just mine. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." We are God's. And I'm also going to talk a little bit later how we're not just when we repent, and when we repent of our sins, how that kind of affects us as a body. And we'll get into that just here shortly. Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God has created us for something beforehand. We should walk in them. So here's something that I want you to just think about. Repentance takes me, and notice I use the word me. Repentance takes me from unstable identity into a death of self, transforming us, if I changed it, from me to us, into the glorious image of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And I'm going to read that part of that passage, 12, starting in 12. "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. When we are living in unrepented sin, we often believe a lie that it's just kind of affecting just us. It's just affecting me. But how many situations do we know where maybe there's some sort of sexual sin that comes out, and how that just creates chaos for a lot of people? It affects more than just that person. It affects a whole range of people. And we know that, and we've seen that. But one thing we don't often think about is how, when I repent of my sins, how that affects the church as a whole in a good way, in what I'm actually able to contribute to everyone, how I'm able to contribute to building community, how I'm able to contribute to building those loving attachments, how I'm able to live in the fullness of joy. It's more than just me repenting of my sins so that I become his image. Because when I repent of my sin and become his image, it helps us all become his image. Because remember the inverse. If I'm living in sin, and something that I do, something that is sinful, it affects everyone. And just the opposite is true. If I'm living in victory, and if I'm living in repentance, it's going to affect everyone in a positive way. I am created in his likeness. I am made new. I am more than just mine. So when there's unrepented sin, we lose belief in whose likeness we are created in. When there's unrepented sin, we don't believe that we could possibly be made new. And when there's unrepented sin, we become egocentric in our thinking, which means we just only think of ourselves. We think our thoughts are the most important. God, let's pray that you would direct our paths. God, we just pray for your Spirit to come and work in our hearts. God, if there's areas that we are experiencing roadblocks in our journey towards becoming more like you and growing in our character. Now, whether it's us experiencing low joy, maybe really struggling with deep relational attachments with others, or maybe it's pride or lust of the flesh or just a need to feel like we have to put a smile on every time we walk through these doors, but inside we're falling apart. Whatever it is, God, that we are carrying it, just pray that we would be able to just surrender that to you. You would show us a way to move on, to repent and believe that you've called us to repent and go and sin no more. What does that look like? So God, I just pray that you would speak to us. We just honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'm going to just leave it open for 10 minutes or so. As we kind of wrap up this series, you know, maybe there's something that kind of sparked your memory. But I just want to give us an opportunity to just to think about it, because I know once we walk out these doors and Monday hits, probably going to forget most of what this message had. So if there's something that you're dealing with right now, personally, let's just take care of it. So I don't know, I'm going to open it up as an altar call. If you just feel like God is pressing something on you, you can just come forward, kneel down here. I've kind of wrestled a little bit with knowing whether or not I should do it. Is this like a biblical principle? Is this some old-fashioned idea, this idea of an altar call? But I think more than important than anything else of that is just providing a little bit of an opportunity to say, hey, God, I repent of this. God, I need help with this. God, I need, because it's been challenging for me as I've worked through this. I've seen so many areas that I need work, and I'd be the first one to come up here and lay it on the altar. So we're just going to open it up, and I was going to ask my wife to play the piano, but she's not here, so I might just play the piano for a couple minutes and just leave it open.